Tonight, pomp, pageantry, and protests as Donald Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
A historic transfer of power, a farewell to the Obamas, then celebrations as crowds pack the parade route. A dramatic split screen as police and riot gear clash with violent demonstrators nearby. Tear gas, flashbangs, smashed windows, and fires. Tonight, the new president's message to a deeply divided nation. An inaugural address like we've never heard before. His surprise salute to Hillary Clinton.
I'd like you to stand up.
And now, the inaugural balls as the Trumps take Washington, occupying the White House, and the work begins. We have every moment covered. Nightly news begins right now.
The inauguration of Donald Trump. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Washington.
Good evening. On this historic night in Washington, Donald J. Trump, the brash 70-year-old New York real estate titan turned reality TV star, is now the 45th president of the United States. The oath of office was administered just after noon today, marking the end of the Obama era and the start of the Trump era, with an inaugural address to the nation filled with vows that sounded a lot like the candidate we saw on the campaign trail. The entire Trump family celebrating at the parade along Pennsylvania Avenue before heading into the White House, getting ready for tonight's inaugural balls. All of it part of a day perhaps even the new president himself didn't foresee when his improbable run began.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald Trump's path to the presidency might be the most unusual and unorthodox we've ever seen.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
But today, that journey ending, steeped in the tradition and pageantry Americans have witnessed for generations. It kicked off just after sunrise, the first glimpse of the soon-to-be first couple arriving at St. John's Episcopal Church, the Church of Presidents. The Inauguration Day service, a precedent set by FDR. Over at the White House, President Obama leaving a personal note for his successor on the Oval Office desk. Asked his message for the American people.
Thank you, guys.
Then, the President-elect's arrival.
Mr. President-elect, how are you?
The Obamas greeting the Trumps for coffee, the photo op a little less than smooth. Nearby on the mall, hundreds of thousands streaming in, both Trump supporters and protesters.
We are here to shut them down!
Downtown, clashes with police. The country still divided. At the Capitol, dignitaries arriving, including one who expected to be here under very different circumstances. Hillary Clinton, joined by her husband. While over 60 congressional Democrats boycotted the inaugural, Clinton tweeting she wanted to honor our democracy and its enduring values. After about an hour, President Obama and President-elect Trump emerged from the White House, the two men who've had such an intense war of words sharing a ride to the Capitol. Then the arrivals on the platform, including the Trump family and Donald Trump, in his last moments as a private citizen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President-elect of the United States, Donald John Trump.
Trump giving a thumbs up as he walks out. Following a performance by the Missouri State University Choir, Mike Pence takes the oath as Vice President.
So help me God.
Everyone please stand.
Then, 19 months after his improbable campaign began, his hand on Lincoln's Bible and his own, the billionaire businessman at 70, the oldest man to take the oath, is sworn in by Chief Justice John Roberts. Afterwards, as rain starts to fall, President Trump speaks to the nation.
We will face challenges. We will confront hardships. But we will get the job done.
Taking on campaign themes.
From this day forward, It's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families, mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities, rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation, an education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge, and the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
And delivering a blistering attack on the Washington establishment seated around him.
For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. We will no longer accept politicians who are all talk and no action, constantly complaining but never doing anything about it. The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Afterwards, the new commander-in-chief's first tweet, "We are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the American people." Reaction from the crowd watching.
I had chills all over my body. And I know people don't have faith right now, but they just need to give it time and just see what happens.
I started to cry because I've been used to seeing President Obama since I was like in second grade, and now I'm in the 10th. So it's like a big change.
Back on the other side of the Capitol, a last conversation between presidents and a final salute. Former President Obama leaving on a helicopter. The view from inside as he looks back on the White House. And after landing at Joint Base Andrews, a final speech.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, we did. Yes, we can. God bless America.
Barack Obama then boarding a military jet. The former vice president taking Amtrak. Back at the Capitol, the new president signing his first executive orders, his grandchildren at his side.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
And at a luncheon in his honor, President Trump meeting Hillary Clinton face-to-face for the first time since the election. A gracious moment.
I was very honored, very, very honored, when I heard that President Bill Clinton and Secretary Hillary Clinton was coming today. And I think it's appropriate to say, and I'd like you to stand up.
Back at the White House, staff with 5 hours to move one first family out and another in. By 3:30, the new commander-in-chief reviews the troops. Then, climbing into the armor-plated beast for the ride to the White House, just before passing his new D.C. hotel, President and his family getting out to walk the route. Later, reviewing the parade from the presidential viewing stand.
Tonight, President Trump and his family will attend three official inaugural balls, another part of the tradition. Everyone watching for that first dance. Meantime, as we said at the top, it's been a dramatic split screen today in Washington. Cheers and celebrations on the mall and along the parade route. But just a few blocks away, chaos as police and riot gear have been clashing with a small group of violent protesters, smashing windows and setting fires. It's not even clear they're anti-Trump protesters specifically or just people looking to cause trouble. There have been over 200 arrests, and NBC's Jacob Rascone is right in the middle of it.
Burning cars and smashed windows. A small group of protesters dressed in black, their faces covered, armed with hammers and bricks. facing off with thousands of officers on site, many in riot gear, confronting them with flashbang grenades and pepper spray.
All of a sudden, the police officers started to spray pepper spray, and they got our audio technician.
They're coming.
They're gonna see us running because they're going to throw more flashbangs.
The chaotic scene just blocks outside the secure area of the inauguration and parade route.
I personally have anti-establishment slants, but I don't think that this is anything that I want to be a
This checkpoint is closed!
Before the swearing-in ceremony even began, protesters tried to block checkpoint entrances. During President Trump's speech, several demonstrators were escorted out of the area. Several officers injured during the protest today, and more than 100 people arrested. Once the inaugural parade began, the newly sworn-in president facing thousands of peaceful protesters amongst his supporters. NBC's Stephanie Gosk was with him all day.
When Donald Trump took the oath of office, the people here sang, "We shall overcome."
Resist from day one!
Similar demonstrations across the country. Arrest outside Trump Tower, New York City. A human chain across San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. From Phoenix to Houston to Chicago, people protesting the country's new president on his first day in office.
Tonight, thousands of protesters remain in downtown D.C., occasionally facing off with police. We have seen many people injured, both protesters and police officers. And tomorrow, D.C. police are preparing for a women's march on Washington. Organizers of that march say they expect a couple 100,000 people. Lester?
Jacob Rascone here in D.C. tonight. Thanks. We're joined now by our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd, and NBC News political analyst and White House veteran, Nicole Wallace. Let me start with you, Chuck. I think when we heard the word carnage in the speech, we knew this was going to be an unusual message.
Look, my first reaction was I thought it was shockingly divisive for an inaugural, and I was surprised because I thought it was unnecessarily divisive. There were moments, that moment that you highlighted with the Clintons, that could have been a moment that probably belonged more in the inaugural address. But what's interesting here is that this was intentional. One of his chief advisors, Steve Bannon, referred to it as Jacksonian, that it was a call to arms to his supporters. And this is the message they sent, which is we're going to be a little bit of a confrontational presidency. We were a confrontational campaign. That's what populist campaigns are. We're going to be a confrontational presidency. And he insulted at points, insulted almost every living president that was there to witness his inaugural, which to me was so stunning.
Got uncomfortable. Nicole, was there a message here to both parties that was sent?
Yeah, you talk about insulting. I mean, there were four former presidents on the dais with him. Not one of them had voted for him, and there were presidents in both political parties. So I think the speech was very much about what his candidacy was about, which was the forgotten man and woman and a run against the political establishment of both parties.
This is a risk. He has got depth of support. He did not go for any breaths today. He needs to expand. This is a man who didn't win the popular vote. You wouldn't have known that today with this inaugural address, but I think they think that this is the way to operate in this politics. We'll see. It's a gamble.
It starts today. Thank you to both. Much more still ahead from our nation's capital. Up next, after all of the day's pomp and circumstance, the real work begins. First actions President Trump has already taken and the big moves planned for his first 100 days. We're back now on this inauguration night in Washington. The parties are about to begin, but the work of the new Trump administration is already underway. The president signing several executive orders today, and there are plans for an aggressive first 100 days. Our White House correspondent Kristen Welker has details.
President Donald Trump taking his first actions as president less than an hour after taking the oath of office.
This is for Rex. I assume he was approved today.
The Senate today confirming Trump's nominee for defense, General Mattis, and General Kelly for Homeland Security. And Trump's administration getting right to work, suspending an Obama executive order, reducing annual fees on some federal mortgages. Sources close to the president say his next actions will likely focus on trade, immigration, and health care.
Better health care that drives down costs is definitely on that top list.
On Monday?
It's going to be definitely in the first few days.
With the stroke of a pen, Trump can start the process in building a border wall.
We're going to start building. Mexico, in some form, and there are many different forms,
will reimburse us.
While Mexican leaders insist they won't pay for a wall, Mr. Trump is expected to order its construction on the southern border. Another one of his first acts will likely be trying to deport some 2 million undocumented immigrants with criminal records.
Day one, my first hour in office, those people are gone.
Aides say President Trump will also reverse Obama's order granting legal status to more than 700,000 undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children.
He does have a significant power as president in the area of immigration, but there is a due process that still has to be followed in dealing with those individuals.
Trump's advisors have teed up more than 200 possible executive orders. Some can reverse environmental protections, capping carbon emissions, and energy regulations like drilling in the Arctic. Plus, he's hoping to make good on this campaign promise.
We are going to do what? Drain the swamp.
Perhaps one of the most notable changes here happened online. President Obama's agenda had highlighted issues including civil rights and climate change. Under the new White House website, there is no mention of those issues. Instead, America First Energy, America First Foreign Policy. Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House tonight. Thank you. We are back in a moment with a look inside America's new First Family. A live look at the White House on this Friday night, Inauguration Day in Washington. There's good news to report this evening on the health of former President George H.W. Bush. His spokesman says he is now breathing well on his own with minimal supplemental oxygen. He remains in intensive care, spending the day watching inauguration coverage with former First Lady Barbara Bush as she recovers from bronchitis. All day today, as President Trump took the reins of power, he had his family by his side. Mr. Trump bringing a unique history to the White House. He is the first president to have been married three times, and he has five children, along with eight grandchildren. NBC's Kate Snow takes us inside the new first family, beginning with First Lady Melania Trump.
Poised and elegant, America's new first lady, standing by her husband's side, walking hand in hand. Melania Trump now trading her semi-private life for the very public spotlight, clad in a powder blue Ralph Lauren dress with matching gloves that some say evoked Jacqueline Kennedy's inaugural look more than half a century ago. The former model raised in Yugoslavia now becomes just the second First Lady of the United States to be born overseas.
And her own story is very compelling, being born in a communist country and now being the spouse of the leader of the free world. It could be a tremendous asset.
The 46-year-old has been described as shy.
Would you like to say a couple of words?
It's great to be here, and thank you all for your support.
Historically, you look back at First Ladies, and all of them have grown into the role. I mean, it's not something that anyone can really prepare for.
One role it's clear Melania will remain dedicated to is being a mother. Today, she kept a watchful eye on 10-year-old Barron, and she'll stay with him in New York as he finishes the school year. If and when they move to D.C., Barron would be the first son to live in the White House since JFK Jr. Until then, will the First Lady be overshadowed by a first daughter? Ivanka Trump, radiant in white, has called claims that she would serve as the de facto First Lady inappropriate. But she has stepped away from her fashion line and moved her family to Washington, where over time she's expected to play an increasing role in her father's administration.
He will fight for equal pay, for equal work. And I will fight for this, too, right alongside of him.
Meanwhile, Eric and Donald Jr. will run the Trump enterprise, while 23-year-old Tiffany eyes law school. Tonight, the entire family is expected to stay overnight at the White House, a new home for a new and unconventional first family. Kate Snow, NBC News, Washington.
We are back with more on this history-making day in just a moment. Finally tonight from Washington, a note about this day and about democracy. As we saw, it can be noisy. The cheers and the boos on the parade route speak to the passion of a bruising election and, yes, to some deeper divisions we have to work through. Joy and disappointment are part of the package. But the bigger takeaway is that despite it all, we saw the peaceful transfer of power just as it always has been. And just as it also has been, Washington and those in power will ultimately answer to all of us, we the people. At this point, some of our stations will be leaving us. For others, another half hour of our special coverage begins in moments. For our entire NBC News team here in Washington, thank you for watching. I'm Lester Holt. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you from New York on Monday night. Good night, everyone.
The inauguration of Donald Trump. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Washington.
Good evening from Washington, where our coverage continues now. The inauguration of Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States. All across the country today, Americans watched as Mr. Trump took the oath of office, capping off a wild and unpredictable rise to the highest office in the land. Then for the first time as president, Trump He addressed the nation in his inaugural speech, and as he laid out his vision for the country, it departed in major ways from speeches we've heard from those Capitol steps in the past. With more now on the president's message to the country, we turn to NBC News White House correspondent Hallie Jackson. Hallie.
His speech to the nation, more a message to his movement.
The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country.
Throwing verbal grenades at that very establishment surrounding him, looking past them to those who put him in office, like voters in western Pennsylvania.
It was powerful, a lot of direction back towards the people, which is what this country is all about.
The tone of his speech was, I thought, honest and sincere.
The crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Critics hearing something much different, more divisive.
I was surprised at how dark his comments were today. It felt depressing and dark.
In a lot of ways, it was classic campaign Trump.
The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. For every forgotten man and forgotten woman. These are the forgotten men and women. We will make America great again.
The speech signaling how the president will govern, unflinchingly populist, unabashedly nationalist, whether Washington likes it or not.
It's a very interesting governing style, and it's a fighting style. It's a confrontational style. We saw it in the campaign, and perhaps that's what we're going to see as president.
The president using the word I only three times, the word we roughly 40, the word used more than any other, America. And for the first time ever in an inaugural address, words like carnage, unstoppable, and Islamic.
Unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth.
If not inspirational to everyone, it was intentional at the least, deliberate, pointed, and by definition, presidential. That speech, the first milestone moment for Donald Trump after taking the oath of office, and one of his last big moments of the day will happen at one of three inaugural balls tonight, like this one here, where for the first time as president, Donald Trump will dance with his first lady. Lester.
Hallie Jackson tonight, thank you. As we've been reporting all day, just blocks of the celebrations at the Capitol and the White House have been violent protests. Police in riot gear clashing with a group of demonstrators who broke windows and set fires. More than 200 people have been arrested. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has been in the thick of it. Miguel, what's the scene like now?
Lester, good evening. We're just a few blocks away from where the parade took place. This is where the confrontation has been taking place between police and demonstrators over the last several hours. I want to walk you up here to the front line and show you what we have been looking at for most of the day. We have police on this side, hundreds of officers. And then on this side here, Lester, we have had hundreds of protesters and demonstrators here over the last several hours. At one point, we did see bricks lobbed at police, also bottles. Police have pushed back using pepper spray and flash grenades. The tension here has been high all day long. It has been fairly peaceful, but there have been bursts of violence here by a handful of protesters. It is certainly a tense situation here, Lester. We will continue to watch developments on the streets of Washington, D.C. Lester, back to you.
All right, Miguel Almaguer tonight, thank you. We want to turn now to how Americans outside Washington, D.C. are reacting to today's inauguration. Our Kevin Tibbles takes us back for the third time to a town in Ohio that has quite a track record when it comes to picking presidents in our series Across America.
Hi, Donald John Trump.
Witnessing history from the century-old opera house in Pemberville, Ohio.
So how are you feeling right now, Carol?
Oh, I'm loving it.
This town of 1,000 has a knack. Pemberville's voted for 24 of the last 30 presidents, including our freshly minted 45th, Donald J. Trump.
Was he speaking to Pemberville today?
I think he was.
Carol Bailey repairs pianos for a living.
I wasn't greatly impressed by his speech, to be honest with you. But he reiterated the things that got him elected.
Bob Frobos runs the butcher shop in town. When we first met him over a year ago, he was undecided, but in the end voted for Trump's message.
I didn't think it was a great speech, but he's not a polished politician. I like the fact that he's a businessman and has gone through some tough times.
But having said that,
I wish he'd quit the tweets.
Of course, not everyone was celebrating.
Was he speaking to you?
No.
Democrat Laura Landry Meyer consoled herself with brownies today. She's worried about the speech.
He marginalized a lot of people. To have someone say that you don't matter, your values, your beliefs don't matter, that's not okay.
Still, differences here in the heartland are noted and respected.
If I had a prayer for the country, I hope that the people that are dead set against him, I hope they hope he's successful.
You best believe it.
We're all in the same boat.
We're all in the same boat.
If he doesn't do what he says he's going to do, the American public will change the picture.
In middle America, they know the sacrifices it's taken to keep communities like this one alive. And they'll be watching the new president closely. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Pemberville, Ohio.
And back here in the nation's capital, as we mentioned, the celebration continues at this evening's inaugural balls. I want to turn to Katie Turr, who's at the Freedom Ball at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center. Katie, big night for the new president, obviously, but these questions are still dogging him about potential conflicts of interest. What can you say about that?
Absolutely, Lester. Donald Trump is enjoying the trappings of tradition today, but so far his presidency is anything but traditional. And some ethics lawyers and experts argue that at this moment he could actually be in violation of the Constitution. That specifically when it comes to his D.C. hotel, arguably now the crown jewel of the Trump empire. Holding it could put Trump in violation of the Emoluments Clause, which says no one holding public office can take or receive gifts or payments from a foreign government. Former White House lawyers worry foreign governments could try to influence U.S. policy overseas by spending cash at that hotel. The Trump team denies this, saying his sons are taking over the business in a trust, and any profits from money foreign governments spend at the hotel will go to the U.S. Treasury. Furthermore, that the president is exempt from conflict of interest laws. But critics argue it's not enough and that he needs to fully divest. Of course, no more would be known if Donald Trump released his taxes. Who he is in debt to, for one, and the details of how he makes his money. So far, he has not done that, even though 74% of Americans would like to see him do so. Lester?
Okay, Katie Turr tonight, thank you. A number of challenges await the new commander-in-chief on the world stage as he assumes the responsibilities of the Oval Office, and several countries around the globe may soon put him to the test on foreign policy, including potentially Russia, where we find our Richard Engel with more.
President Trump said today his foreign policy will be defined by strength.
We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth.
But Trump is still putting together his national security team, even as American rivals could try to test the new president's mettle.
almost immediately.
Anytime there is a change in administration, when you're handing the ball from one team to another, that provides a potential window of vulnerability.
Potential challengers? Take North Korea and the threat from its stockpile of nuclear weapons. The unpredictable Kim Jong-un could soon carry out a provocative test launch of intercontinental ballistic missiles. A U.S. intelligence official told NBC News a launch was probable. Trump has tweeted, it won't happen. But a missile launch is exactly what North Korea did.
I, Barack Hussein Obama.
8 years ago, when President Obama was sworn in. Iran is another flashpoint, a possible naval confrontation. A year ago, Iran captured 10 American sailors in the Persian Gulf, forcing them to kneel. The U.S. military says its ships once again face hostile actions, and American captains have orders to defend themselves decisively. No more humiliations. And here in Russia, they've broken out the champagne. Russian President Putin has repeatedly said he sees Trump as a man Moscow can do business with. But he could be just keeping an enemy close, only to turn on him later. And then, of course, there is the threat of terrorism, that extremists could try to provoke Trump. A senior U.S. intelligence official told NBC News that Trump's national security team appears woefully unprepared for the challenges to come. Lester?
Richard Engel in Moscow for us tonight. Richard, thank you. On a historic night like this, there's no one better to turn to than Tom Brokaw. Tom, America First was part of the message we heard today. Where does that come from? Where does that lead us?
Well, Steve Bannon, who is one of his principal advisors on the message that he wants to get out there, has already said today this was exactly what we wanted to do. The speech was short on eloquence, long on bombast. It was America First. And they think that they've got to change this country into what is called ethno-nationalism, get back to less diversity, more about America, less about operating the global economy. We'll see how it plays. The fact is that this world now is interconnected in ways that it never has been in my lifetime or in yours or in the history of the world because of the way it works. But you cannot underestimate Donald Trump's ability to reach so many Americans who feel the same way. We heard it today on the mall. We heard it from people saying, I love that speech. Others were, I think, very disappointed that it didn't have what you call the poetry of the State of the Union speech or the poetry of an inaugural address of someone like John Kennedy. But what he's done is sell his message. We're going to put America first and hope it works.
All right. Tom Brokaw, thank you. Much more still ahead, including protecting the president, the multi-billion dollar cost of keeping him safe wherever he goes. As he took the oath of office here in Washington, President Trump inherited the largest and best security and communications infrastructure in the world. Tonight, we have an exclusive report on tightly held details about how the Secret Service, along with the military, will ensure his safety and his ability to run the government whenever he leaves the White House. Here's NBC News senior investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden.
NBC News has reviewed budget and planning documents, some of them top secret, the crown jewels in presidential protection, designed to ensure President Trump survives any kind of threat, from biological weapons to incoming missiles.
It is logistics on top of logistics. It's thinking about every problem in advance and coming up with every type of contingency plan that you can think of.
What has never been fully reported before are the details about what happens whenever the president leaves Washington. It can take a minimum of 7 planes, which may make numerous trips before the president even reaches his destination. Air Force One, codenamed Comet, goes, and 2 backups. Loaded on 4 giant C-17 cargo planes, the presidential limo, called the Beast, and 2 backups, sealed to protect from chemical or biological weapons. 22 armored SUVs and vans are airlifted to transport Secret Service and White House staff. 5 helicopters, including Marine One, are also packed. Everything down to the White House podium goes, even if it's just to New York.
Since 9/11, we've seen such a substantial change in the numbers of threats and the sophistication of those threats, that DOD has increased its participation.
These days, the military is indeed heavily involved. For For example, a senior intelligence official tells NBC News when President Trump is in New York City, reconnaissance drones and fighter planes will patrol the skies, able to shoot down hostile aircraft if necessary. A team of Delta Commandos and FBI hostage rescue agents are also deployed. And of course, a military aide with a nuclear football is always along. Communications are key. The president needs to be able to talk to anyone, anywhere, including Vladimir Putin and 18 other world leaders to whom he has a direct line. None of this is cheap, with a price tag of approximately $5 billion a year. And government officials tell NBC News if President Trump decides to spend his weekends here in New York City, the cost and the risk will rise significantly. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with Ivanka Trump and her husband, Washington's other new power couple. We're back now with a look at the power couple that has Washington abuzz. The mystery surrounding the roles of new first daughter Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner, one of his father-in-law's most trusted aides, and both have the ear of the new president. We get those details from NBC's Peter Alexander.
They are Washington's newest power couple, first daughter Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner. While he's now senior advisor to President Trump, she may be her father's most trusted confidant.
Ivanka Trump is the one phone call that Donald Trump will always take above anyone else.
Born into great wealth, Ivanka was launched into the spotlight at an early age.
In a moment, we'll crown the new Miss Teen USA.
Co-hosting her father's Miss Teen USA pageant at 15, a cover girl before college. Until last week, a key executive at the Trump Organization, who also built her own successful fashion brand.
The women I know who are working today are working hard.
The 35-year-old's passion now empowering women, already pushing for paid maternity leave and a child care tax credit. She has three children with Kushner, settling into this $5.5 million Washington mansion near their new neighbors, the Obamas. While Kushner shuns the press and has never tweeted, he mastered social media and digital marketing as a political force fueling Trump's victory, earning his trust and responsibility.
If you can't produce peace in the Middle East, nobody can.
The 36-year-old multimillionaire is overseeing the Kushner family's own real estate empire with major New York City assets. He's divesting all of his holdings, including the New York Observer, where he served as publisher.
But I've seen Jared under some real tough fire, and he always remains that voice that says, hold on, take a step, let's think it through.
Publicly and behind the scenes, this influential couple will have the president's ear and his back.
While Ivanka Trump is dismissing suggestions that she'll act as a first lady, calling that kind of talk inappropriate, it's worth noting that she did get a unique perspective this week, spending more than an hour on the phone with the now former first lady, Michelle Obama. Lester?
Peter Alexander outside the White House, thank you. And when we come back, some of the most memorable sights and sounds as history is made here in Washington. Finally tonight, from the nation's capital, some of the sights and sounds and the memories that will live on from this historic day as Donald Trump was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States.
President-elect of the United States, Donald John Trump.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
As a nation, we now pray for our president, Donald John Trump.
We're not enemies, but brothers and sisters. We're not adversaries, but we're allies. We're not foes, but we're friends.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. From this day forward, It's going to be only America first. Proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
That will do it for us on this historic Friday night in our nation's capital as Donald Trump assumes the office of president. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.